umafriz al sadehu, and he can increase the cost for his field, for the man who has rented the field. Ve'ino choshesh mishum ribis, and he doesn't have to fear that that looks like interest. In other words, let's say Gavriel rented my field, and we made a deal. You're going to have use of my field, so you're going to produce for me, let's say, 10 kor of wheat every year for the next 10 years. Whatever is in excess of 10 kor, you'll get to keep. And then Gavriel comes and says, Zev, I need a loan. If I give him $200 as a loan, I can now say, okay, but now give me, instead of 10 kor, 11 kor of wheat a year. And that's not considered interest. It's not that he gave me more money because he's giving me now more in rent because I gave him a loan, which would be interest. That I'm getting the money back, plus I'm getting a gift. What happened here is, as the Gemara will explain, once I give him a loan, he's going to improve the field. Once he improves the field, it's a field that deserves a higher rent. It's a better field. So he had originally agreed to give me a certain amount per year from the field. That was a low-quality field. But once he borrowed money from me, and he invested that money in improving the field, it becomes a higher-quality field. So he's not giving me now more rent because he had time with my money, which is what interest is. He's giving me now more rent because he has a better field. And a better field deserves more rent. So that's what the Gemara will explain, says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanu Lidin Abraisa. Mafriz al sadehu. I can increase the rent for a field. Ve'eino choshesh mishum ribis. I did it because I gave my renter a loan, and that I don't have to fear is in any way interest. Kate said, what's the case? Hasocher es hasada mechavero v'asara kurin chitin l'shana. You rented a field from me, and the deal was the payment of the rent is going to be 10 kor of wheat every year. Omer lo, but then you who rented it from me told me, Taimi Masai, give me another 200 zuz as a loan. V'afar nesena, and I'm planning to invest that loan in improving the field. In other words, how am I going to improve the field? I'm going to put in fertilizer, I'm going to get rid of all the weeds, get rid of all the thorns. And he said, listen, I'll pay you back the loan. Plus, after the loan, instead of giving you 10 kor of wheat as the rental payment, I'll give you 12 kor of wheat. Mutter, that is allowed, because since the loan is used to improve the field, so now the higher rent is just an increased rent. It's not interest on the loan. It's just that the item being rented is better. Since the item being rented is better, of course, it should get a higher amount. Aval, however, if we had an arrangement not about a field, an arrangement where you were renting a store from me, or you were renting a boat from me, and then you borrowed money from me. Now that you borrowed the money, I cannot increase the cost of the rental. Because when you borrow money from me, you're not improving the store, you're not improving the boat. The boat hasn't gotten any better. What has happened? You had access to my money, you're going to give me back my money. So now if I charge you a higher price for the rent of the boat or of the store, I'm getting interest because I gave you time with my money. And that is not allowed. I can understand that there are times when the owner of the store or the owner of the boat that he rented out can increase the price of the rent after a loan, and we wouldn't consider it interest on the loan, because what happened? If I gave a loan, Latzur Batsura, and my tenant used that loan to make some nice art on the walls of the store. So once there's art on the walls of the store, that's going to increase customers. More customers are going to come in, because some come in just to see the nice art. Or it makes the store more valuable. Or Sfina, if I gave a loan to a friend who had rented my boat, Lasla Iskria, in order to make, you know, a sail on the sailboat, or to make a better rudder on the bottom of the boat or a better steering wheel. So if by my giving him the loan, he improved the boat. So now I can increase the rent on the boat, because now the increased rent is not merely a gift because I gave a loan, but rather it's a better boat. So a better boat deserves a higher rental payment. So the Gemara explains, Chanus, when it's a loan given to my renter who rented my store from me, it's Latzer Batsu Rasa, when he made a nice painting on the wall based on that loan, it's Savu Ba'inshi. Now people look at it, and because they look at it and they admire the art, more of them come. Bahavi Agrit Fe, so now it's a more valuable storefront. A more valuable storefront deserves a higher rental payment. Sfina, if I gave a loan for the boat of mine that he's using, and Lassasla is Korea, and he made out of it a, how do they translate is Korea?
A mast.
He made out of it a better mast, a taller mast. Now the boat can travel further, faster. Okay, when the Shpira is Korea Tfe, now that this is a better mast, Agra Tfe, I deserve more rent. And therefore, it's not that the added rent is mere is interest over the loan that I got, that I gave him. Rather, the added rent is that the loan improved the item. So the item is a better item. It deserves more rent. Sfinta. Now talking about boats. Amar Rav, Rav said, Agra, the guy who rents the boat pays rent. Upagra. And if it breaks, he has to pay for it breaking. Amru le Rav Kahana, Rav Asi le Rav. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi said to Ravi, Agra, if he's paying rent, so that means he's a renter. Low pagra, then he shouldn't be paying if it breaks. Because if it breaks, that's an onus, that's a loss that was out of his control. And a socher, a renter, we know as a shomer socher, is like a paid watchman. He doesn't have to pay for losses that are out of his control. Epagra, if you're telling me that he's paying even if it breaks, that means he's not a renter. That means he's a borrower. And a borrower, because kalana shalo, he has all the benefits, he also has to have full responsibility. He pays if it breaks. So if he's a borrower, lo agra, shouldn't be paying the rent, because the rent is interest, and he shouldn't be paying the rent. So Shasik Rav, so Rav was quiet, he didn't have an answer. Amar Rav Sheshes said, my time was Shasik Rav. Why was Rav quiet? Lo shmiya lehadetanya, did he not learn of the following that we learned in a brisa? That it is possible that you have responsibility for losses, plus you have to pay rent. We learned it in a brisa. Afal pishamrin mekablin son barzel miYisrael. Even though they said you can't accept a deal from a Jew of the iron sheep. What's the iron sheep deal? Namely, I am a shepherd. I'm going to raise this sheep that Kim gives me. If it becomes more valuable, we'll split the profits. But if chas v'shalom, a wolf comes and eats the sheep, then I pay the full value of the sheep. I take all the responsibility. So it's like iron sheep. Kim can't lose, but Kim can gain. But I could lose, and I have a chance of gaining. So that looks like interest. Because if I have to pay back the principal, no matter what, that means it's a loan on the sheep. And then I'm going to give also some added amount beyond the principal. That looks like interest. Because if there's a gain, I give some of the gain too. That looks like interest. So that we can't do from another Jew, because we can't have a deal with a Jew where I'm paying the Jew interest. But if a non-Jew gives me his sheep, and I've promised no matter what, I'll replace the sheep if there's a loss. And if there's a gain, I'll replace the sheep, plus I'll give some of the gain, and I'll get some of the gain. With a non-Jew, we can do that, because a non-Jew, I'm allowed to have deals with him that have interest. Aval Amru, but the sages said, Hashem para l'chaveiro, if somebody evaluates a cow to his friend. Amar lo, and the guy who got the cow to try to improve its value said, Haray paras chasuya lai b'shloshim dinar, if something happens to the cow, I'll give you 30 dinar, the value of the cow. V'ani elecha, plus, besides the 30 dinar, by the way, besides this deal of an absolute guarantee, I'm going to give you sela b'chodesh. I'm going to give you a month. Every month, I'm going to give you a sela. So even so, it's mutter, it's allowed. Fi shelo asa damin. Because he didn't say that he's going to pay the value of the cow. What do you mean, v'lo asai? He didn't say he's going to pay the value of the cow. He just said he's going to pay 30 dinar. Rav Sheshi said what it means is, lo asa dam mechayim ela li'achar nisa. He's not accepting that he's going to pay all the losses, right? If the cow doesn't get eaten by a wolf, the cow broke its leg, and it goes from being worth 30 to being worth 10, he's not paying that 20. Then he's just going to give the cow back. Only if the cow gets lost, then he's going to give the value of the cow of 30. So since he's not accepting all the losses, so if he's not accepting all the losses, it's not a loan. A loan means that the money that the lender gave to me, no matter what, he's going to get back. If there is a full loss, he'll get it all back. If there's a partial loss, he'll get the partial loss back. But here in this case, the man who gave me the cow is not going to get the cow back 100%. If the cow dies, he's going to give me back the full value of the cow. If the cow is going to be reduced in value, then he's going to take that loss because I'm just going to give him back the cow. So therefore, it's not considered a loan. Rather, it's considered a rental. So since it's considered a rental, I can pay him rent. It's not interest. There's interest on a loan. There's no interest on rents. So, okay, once we've established that, maybe that's what's going on here in the case of this boat. If the boat breaks, then the person who's renting the boat will pay the full value of the boat. But if the boat depreciates, he won't pay that depreciation. So therefore, it's not a loan. It is a rental. And if it's a rental, he's allowed to pay rent on the boat. So that's the view of Rav. So Rav said, Rav Kahan and Rav Asiya challenged Rav. They said, you know, if there is going to be rent, there can't be a payment of loss. If there's payment of loss, there can't be rental payments. So Rav was quiet. In other words, Rav seems to have accepted the challenge. Why is he accepting the challenge? You have this brisa, which is a support to Rav. So Rav Papa said, Hilchasa, the halacha is Sfina. If a man rents a boat, Agra, the renter pays rental payments. Upagra. And if it breaks, he has to pay the entire value of the boat. Vinagubnei kufra, and the people who have the pitch, in other words, the people who own boats, have a custom. Agra bishas mashicha, they get the rent for the boat at the time that the renter pulls the boat. Pagra, whereas the value of the broken boat, that's only bishas shvira. They only get that at the time that the boat breaks. Asks the Gemara, Atu b'min hagatalya milsa. Is this a question of custom? If the whole thing breaks, then he has to pay for the whole thing. And if he pays for the whole thing, it looks like interest. So why do we allow them to do that? Because he paid for the whole thing. There was a responsibility. And there was rental fees. Answer the Gemara, Mishum de Masnisa Tanya. No, as we just learned in the Braisa, since the payment for the whole thing is only if the boat breaks. But if there's depreciation, the renter does not pay for that depreciation. So since in a case of depreciation he doesn't pay, it doesn't look like a loan. And therefore, he can have both the responsibility of paying for the whole thing if it breaks, and paying rent, and that's the minhaga. That's why there's a custom that he would have to pay both. Amar Ravanan, Amar Shmuel. Ravanan said in the name of Shmuel an amazing chiddush. Ma'os shel yisomim. Let's say a man dies and his children, who are all minors, inherit his cash. Mutter. So the apotropos, as we've learned before, the executor of the estate or the bezdin, are allowed to take this cash, lahalvosan beribis, and to lend them out and charge interest. That's an amazing thing. They can charge interest. You say, well, how can you charge interest? I mean, there's a mitzvah in the Torah not to charge interest. So the answer is like this. The children are minors. So as minors, they're not obligated in mitzvos. The person charging the interest is not actually the owner of the cash. He's not really the lender.
He's not taking interest for himself. So he's not doing an Aveira. The child doesn't do an Aveira because he's a minor. Beis Din doesn't have to stop the children from doing this, because Beis Din stops children from doing what is an Aveira with their hands. But this is not an active Aveira, because they actually, they figured out a way to avoid an Aveira. The guy doing the lending out is not really gaining the interest, and they're minors who don't have an Aveira. And therefore, you actually, children can lend money with interest. It's not an Aveira for him, because he's not paying to the lender.
So not, could they lend their money under the children's name?
There you go. Rav Nachman said to Rav Hanan, I don't understand. Mishum diyasmin, you know, these are children, because they're orphans. Sfina Lui Sur, we're going to feed them prohibited matters. We're going to give them that which is an Aveira. See, after all, Yasmid Achdid Labdulu, Lazli Basish of Kayu, children who are eating money that they're not entitled to, they're going to die. Nebuch, the same way their parents died. Amar Leis, Rav Nachman answered to Rav Hanan. So Rav Nachman went further. He said, Rav Hanan, you made this crazy ruling. You said orphans can, you said in the name of Shmuel, or money of orphans can be lent out with interest. You tell me what exactly happened and why do you thought that that was the ruling of Shmuel? Amar Leis, Rav Hanan explained. There was this copper pot that belonged to the children of Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva died. These children were orphans. And the copper pot was in the house of Shmuel, our master Shmuel, who was the apotropos. He was the executor. And when he would rent out the pot to people, he would weigh the pot when he'd give it to people to use. And he would weigh the pot when he would get it back from those people who had rented it. Shakil Agra, number one, he took a wage, he took money for the rental. This Shakil Pchasa, plus he took whatever depreciation, whatever was removed from the pot. When the pot became less heavy, he said, okay, now you have to pay us for the loss to the pot. So what's the proof? Now, I Agra Lo Pchasa, if you're going to take rental, that means the guy is a renter, then he shouldn't be paying for losses. He doesn't have to pay for usage. You don't have to pay for usage if you're a renter. The depreciation because of use, you don't have to pay. Ipchasa, once you're saying that the guy has to pay for the depreciation based on use, that means he's a borrower. If he's a borrower, even more than a borrower, so lo agra, he's a borrower, he borrowed it, so then he shouldn't have to pay the rental because it is interest. Must be that because it's for children, there is no law of interest. Amaleh, Rav Nachman said back to Rav Hanan, you don't even understand what happened there. Kiha, in such a scenario, afilu b'dekanini nami shari lemeh, but even people with big beards who aren't children or orphans would be allowed to do this. Why? Damakabli olayu chuschadin achsha. Because when we rented out the pot, so there are two things going on. There are two losses. Number one, the pot becomes less heavy. Okay, that's one loss that the renter pays back. But there's a second loss. The fact that the pot got burned, the fact that the pot was put on the fire, made the copper weaker, made the copper less valuable. The kama demikli nachsha batzir dama. The more the pot is cooked on the fire, the less good that copper is. Now that, you didn't see him paying back to the owner of the pot. So since the owner of the pot is losing, he's losing money, he's getting back the reduced weight, but he's losing the damage done to the copper. That's not a loan. In a loan, the man lending doesn't have any loss. Here there's a loss. So since there's a loss, they could collect rent. So it's not a proof that Shmuel held that because it's orphan property, there's no problem of interest. Could be orphan property, would have a problem of interest. But interest means paying on a loan. Here it's not a loan because there's a loss to the owner of the pot. So since there's a loss to the owner of the pot, it's not interest.
Rabbi, is subleasing allowed?
Yeah.
No problem with that? Isn't that interest? Making interest or whatever, you know?
Why is it interest?
If I rent something from you, $1,000 a month, can I rent it for $1,500 to Gabriel?
Why?
What's the problem?
There's no problem with that?
Interest problem. You're not giving interest to the lender.
Isn't that 500 extra that I'm making, that's an interest?
That doesn't go to the lender. It goes to you, the borrower.
To the borrower.
That's the whole point. You rent things to make money off of them. Right.
The renter can pay more.
Correct.
So he loses again. And now he rents, but it's used up a little bit or depreciates, and so he pays again. So it seems to me no matter what he does, he loses.
All right. Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Rav Chisda. Rabba, the son of Rav Shila, said in the name of Rav Chisda. Amil, others say it was Amar Rabbi Bar of Yosef Bar Chamam Rav Sheshes. It's Rabbi Bar Yosef, the son of Chamas, the name of Rav Sheshes. Mo shel Yisomim, cash of orphans. Mutter lal vosan. You're allowed to rent them. You're allowed to lend them out in a business deal, in an iska, which is karov l'schar, where the orphans will get a part of the profits, if there are profits. And the orphans will not get any of the losses. That if there is a loss, they're not going to take any of the loss. They will be reimbursed. Now, normally that's not allowed, but for orphans it is allowed. Again, because since orphans, for orphans it's allowed. It's only this is only interest me drabanan here. So, therefore, for orphans, it's allowed. Tanur Rabbanu lent in a brisa. If I give my cash to someone, karov l'schar v'rachok lehefsed, where I'm not going to have any of the losses. If there are losses, he reimburses me. If there are gains, I get some of the gains. So that's if I did that, I'm a rush. I'm a wicked person because basically, that is interest on a rabbinic level because my money is basically a loan because I'm getting it all back no matter what. And I'm going to get some of the gain. So that means I have a chance of interest. So it's that's wickedness. However, if it's the opposite, karov lehefsed v'rachok l'schar, let's say the deal was like this. If it's lost, I take the whole loss. But if there's a gain, I'll get some of the gain. So then I'm a chassid. That means I'm a tzaddik. I gave my money to my friend. I held on to the money. It was a deposit. It was a pikadon. I didn't make him a borrower. And there's a chance of me making money, so I'm a big tzaddik. If it's karov lezel lezeh, but let's say it's both possibilities are likely. In other words, if there are profits, I'll get half the profits. It's my money. If there are losses, though, I'll take two-thirds of the losses. Rachok mizeh mizeh, or it's far from both possibilities. In other words, if there are profits, I'll only get a third of the profits. If there are losses, I'll get half of the losses. So he meet us kol adam. That's the way normal people act. Amale Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rabbi said to Rav Yosef, "Hani zuzu diyasmi. If there's money of orphans, heichi avdinan luhu. What should we do with them in order to make sure that the orphans don't lose their poor little bit that they have?" Amale, so Rav Yosef answered, "Mosvina luhu beidina. We put the money in court." And each day we give them a zuz in order for their food. Amar le, so Rabba said, "Vakokalya karna." So after a couple of months, they're going to be left with nothing. The principle is being destroyed now. So Amar le, so Rav Yosef said, "Mar hechiyavit." So you tell me, what should we do to preserve the little wealth that an orphan has? Amar le, so Rabba said, "Bat kinan gavra isle dava pricha." We look for a man who has pieces of gold. So a man who has bars of gold that he owns, that he's we know he's wealthy. Not that maybe he's pretending to be wealthy because he's watching someone else's gold. He has pieces of gold, we know he's wealthy. So once we know a man who's wealthy, naktin and dava minate, we buy or we take the gold from him as a collateral. V'yehivin lunia lein, we give him the money of the orphans in a business deal, which is karov l'schar. If there's going to be profits, the orphans will get half the profits. V'rachok lehefsid. But if there's going to be losses, the orphans don't have the losses. He has to reimburse the whole amount.
And that we can do, because again, this is not biblical interest, this is rabbinic interest. Biblical interest is only in a loan, this is not really a loan, this is a business deal. For orphans, it's allowed. Avil, however, if the man does not have bars of gold, he just has davar mesuyim, he has things that we know are his, but he doesn't have bars of gold, lo, then we're not going to give him such a business deal. Then we'll be cut on him, because maybe he's not even rich. Maybe the thing he has is just something he's watching. And the owner's going to come and reclaim it. And then the orphan's going to be left with nothing to guarantee their money. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi challenged this law of Rabbah. Okay, that's fine. If you find a rich man who's got bars of gold, you can take the bars of gold as the collateral to guarantee the orphan cash. But if you don't find a man who has gold, so then what? You're going to lose all the money of the orphans? You're going to spend it on nothing? So El Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, you know what we do to help the orphans? Chazinan gavra de mishapu nichse. We look for a person who his possessions are quiet. In other words, nobody's claiming that his possessions don't belong to him or belong to them. Umehemen. And we find someone, this person who, number one, there are no rumors that he doesn't own what he seems to own. Number two, we find a person who we know is honest. V'shama dina d'oraisa, and we make sure that he's someone who listens to the Torah law. V'lo makabel shamta d'rabanan, and he never was put into excommunication by the sages. V'yavinu luni alebe beidina, and we give this honest man the money in the iska arrangement. That namely, if there are losses, he's going to give all the losses back. And if there's a gain, he's going to give some of the gain back to the orphans. And that's how we protect the property of orphans. Okay, next Mishnah. A mekablin son barzel. You're not allowed to accept the iron sheep deal. In other words, I'm the shepherd. You give me a sheep. If it dies, I will give you the value. When you give me the sheep, I figure out how much it's worth. And I say, listen, no matter what happens to this sheep, I'm giving you back that amount, even if it just depreciates. So basically, you've got no loss possibility. And if it goes up, we're going to split the profits. That I can't do, because that looks like interest. Basically, I've guaranteed the amount of the sheep. So that means the amount of the sheep is a loan. You don't have any risk. And I have risk. I could lose. But you have no risk, and you have the possibility of more than no risk. You're going to gain too. So we can't do that, Yisrael. We can't do that from a Jew, because there's no laws of interest between Jews. This is interest. But I could accept such a deal from a guy, because with non-Jews we can have interest. The loven mehen, we can borrow from non-Jews. Umalvanos, and we can lend to them. Beribis, charging them interest. The chaimagir tosha. This is not only true about a non-Jew outside of Israel. If you have a non-Jew in Israel, who's a righteous non-Jew, he keeps the seven commandments that were given to the non-Jews. He eats treif, but he lives in Israel. So you are allowed to lend to him and borrow from him with interest. Malva Yisrael, maosav shalovid kochav. Let's say the Jew, this gets to Baruch's case, a Jew borrowed money from a non-Jew, and now the Jew who has this money from the non-Jew can lend to his fellow Jew this money with interest. Midas over kochav, so long as that is something that the non-Jew wants.
Rabbi, so if there's a partnership,
but not based on the will of the Jew. So we'll see later, the Gemara is going to talk about this in length. All right, starting in the Gemara. The Mishnah said that the Tzon Barzel deal is interest. L'meimra de Birshusa de Makabel Kaima. Does that mean that when you have a Tzon Barzel deal, I, the shepherd, am fully responsible for the sheep, and therefore it's a loan, and therefore it's interest to give some of the profits? Or meaning, but I'll challenge you, we learned, Makabel Tzon Barzel Menanachrim, if I accepted a sheep, and I guaranteed giving that amount back to the non-Jews, they're the ones who gave me the sheep, and whatever the profit, whatever children will be born, we will split. So Vlados, the firstborn, is Pturim and a Bechor. Don't have the laws of Bechor. Don't have the laws of being a Bechor. Why? Because it still belongs to the non-Jew. It doesn't all belong to me. I understand. You just said that if I'm responsible for it, it's mine. So Amar Abaye. Abaye answered, Lo Kash, it's not a contradiction. The case of our Mishnah when we said it with the Tzon Barzel deal I, the shepherd who took the sheep, am fully responsible. I'm a borrower. That's when I accept it. I'm going to give the amount of the sheep back, even if there is an onus, even if there's a depreciation. But in the case of that Mishnah, where we said that if there was a tzon barzel deal with a non-Jew, the child is not a bechor, it's not a firstborn. So lo kibul alei unsa v'zula, where the owner, I'm sorry, not with the owner, where the shepherd has not accepted all of the responsibility for the... So our Mishnah is where the owner did not accept. I'm sorry, over there in the Mishnah Bechoros, it's where the owner said that if there is a loss or depreciation, he suffers that. And in our Mishnah, it's where the shepherd takes the responsibility for the loss or the depreciation. Amar Le Rava, so Rava said, "Idekabel Le Mari Unsa Vezula." If the owner is going to be responsible for the loss and depreciation, so in Barzel Karisli, how could you call it iron sheep? He's not. It's not that I'm always responsible. Vote, and furthermore, if you're going to call it iron sheep, at a Tani Sefer where it said in our Mishnah, Avam Makabon Tzon Barzel Manover the Kochavim, you can accept a Tzon Barzel arrangement from non-Jews. Liflag B'diday. Why don't you just stay on the topic of Jews? But Medvar Amur, when can you not accept its own Barzel arrangement from a Jew? To lo kibul alei unsa v'zula, when he, the man giving me the sheep to watch, says he's not going to be responsible for losses. I'm going to be responsible for losses. Avol kibul alei unsa v'zula. But if he's going to be responsible for losses, so I didn't really guarantee it, then shop your dummy, that it's not a loan, and it is okay to go into the Tzon Barzel deal with a fellow Jew. El Amar Rava, so Rava said, you have to answer the contradiction between the Mishnah in Bechoros and the Mishnah in Bava Metzia in the following way. Idi v'idi, the lo kibul alei mare unsa v'zula. Whenever we have a Tzon Barzel arrangement, I, the shepherd, am responsible for the losses, even if it's a loss out of control. So why, in regards to Bechor, did we say that the child born is not a Bechor? It's in my responsibility, even though I got it from a non-Jew. It's now fully mine. No, Gabi Bechoros, Hainu Tam. In regards to Bechor, there's a special halacha. Vlados Pturim Na Bechora, the children of such a sheep would not be considered Bechor, would not be considered firstborn. Kivan Dilo Yoiv Zuzi, because if the non-Jew is going to say to me, here, give me back the 30 shekel that you said the sheep was going to be worth, that you're going to give to me. And I don't have the 30 shekel. I don't give it back to him. Then Asi, Nachri Tafas Leilu Behema, he's going to go grab the animal. V'ilo Mishtakach Leilu Behema Tafas Leilu Vlados. And if he doesn't, if the animal's not around, he's going to grab the children of the animal. So Havile Yad Nachri Bamsa. So you can't really say that these children are mine. They may be his. So Kol Yad Nachri Bamsa Patmina Bechora. Whenever the non-Jew can grab an animal, it doesn't have the status of Bechor. The Pasuk says, Marbeho no b'neshach v'tarbis l'chonein dalim yikpetzenu. A person who increases his wealth through interest, he's gathering it for the one who gives to the poor. My l'chonein dalim, what does it mean to the one who cares for the poor? Amarav, kagon shvor malka. That's a reference to the king, shvor malka. He, the king, the government, is going to grab the money from the man who collected the money through interest. The government's going to take it and give it to the poor. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Rav Nachman said, Huna said to me, Lo nitzrucha ela da'afilu ribis to Ovid kochavim. According to Rav Nachman, he said to him, Rav Huna, that a Jew is not allowed to take interest even from a non-Jew, and if he does, eventually the government will take it away, because God will take it away and give it to the poor. We'll see, the Gemara is going to discuss why would there be an opinion that you can't take interest from a non-Jew.